Well, you know, it is just so nice when you choose to get up and really talk about God and how it works in your life. I think that most everybody by now should know that God's alive and well, and that God is love. So God's a part of all of us. We're little bubbles in his tub. What do you think? And the young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us today has a very tight hold on God's finger. She's a very spiritual young lady, very intelligent, very capable, and I know that quite a few of you here know her already. Well, maybe you even know her better than I do, but I just can't see anything to growl about with this kid. I feel that she puts God in everything in her life. She loves to travel around the world and take God with her. She's a wonderful young lady. And here she is to come share our thoughts, her thoughts with us, not shots, her thoughts with us. And this is our Yudoka.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
I'm going to turn this way. I feel like I can see all of you. Can you hear me? You can hear me?
Yep, I'm going to hear you.
Okay. All right. So please launch your phone. No, I'm kidding. Do it. Good? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, thanks, Dan. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. So the last time I spoke here, it was in March of 2016, and I was new to the church, and I had been a member for about a year or so, and I was still trying to figure out my spiritual stuff, potential gifts, whatever, just kind of working through where I was. And so for that talk that I did in March of 2016, I talked about confirmations because that was really big in my life at the time. A confirmation to me was kind of like a coincidence, a nudging, a melding of where I was going, and kind of spirits, you know, winked that everything was going to be okay and I was on my path. So since that time in that talk, I've given a few more talks at the other spiritualist church around the corner, which is First Spiritualist Church in City Heights. And in preparing for this talk, I kind of sat around for the past 2 weeks trying to figure out what I was going to talk about, and nothing was coming at all. At all. Like, nothing. until last night. So, yeah, really. So in doing this, getting ready for this talk, Spirit said, you know what you need to do? You need to listen to all your talks from before. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have time, because I don't have time. So I did it, because I have no choice. When Spirit says do something, you do it. So I spent about 3 hours listening to all the recordings of all my old talks. And it was really interesting to watch the progression of each of those talks. The first talk that I did after this one was about strength and vulnerability, and how they're two sides of the same coin, and how they really allow you to grow and shine your light to the world so you can attract your tribe to you. And the next one after that was about cultivating unconditional love for people, and situations that try your patience. So that was an interesting talk for me to go through. And then the last one I did was about, what was I talk about? Oh, about learning who you are based on your past experiences. So I listened to all those, and I realized in listening to those that they're really a timeline of where I had been and where I was going. And then I understood why Spirit had me listen to all those talks to prep me for this one. So the name of this talk is about trust. And somebody gave me that title a while ago, and I was like, I'm not going to talk about trust. It's ridiculous. But here I am, trust. And specifically, trust as a process and not a destination. That's what I've been mulling around in my mind over the past 24 hours. Trust as a process, not as a destination. And I thought about why I want to name it that. And I said, well, when something is a destination, you slow down as you arrive to it, And then when you get there, you stop and you get comfortable. And then when you get comfortable, you stagnate. And then basically your spiritual evolution kind of starts to slow down. And that's why we all came here, to evolve spiritually. That's why we picked our parents. Eek. And that's why we picked our bodies, whether we're comfortable in them or not. And that's why we picked this whole life experience on the earth plane this time. So I was like, okay, I got this whole process thing. But then being a lawyer, which I am, those of you who don't know, I like to have processes in my mind for why I do what I do. Just neurotic like that. So I thought, well, what is my process of trust? Like, how would I explain it if I was teaching a class on trust? And so I thought to myself, well, when did my process of trusting begin? And so for those of you who heard me talk last time, I said, oh, it started about 2007 when I was at the DA's office and I was really unhappy with my life and what I was doing. I just didn't feel like I was being purposed right. And I was like, yeah, 2007, yeah. But then as I was sitting down to write this talk early yesterday morning and this morning, I thought of something that someone mentioned to me a couple years ago, and that is that the universe conspires for your good. The universe conspires for your good. And I mean legitimately will be sneaky in orchestrating things and people in and out of your life in a way that you never could have imagined had you done it yourself. So that stuck with me, and I said, okay, I see this. So when did my trust process really begin if it wasn't in 2007? And I realized actually it was in 2000, 7 years earlier, the week that I actually moved to San Diego. So in July of 2000, drove to San Diego to start law school. It was August of 2000, and I didn't have an apartment all set up. Oh, actually, I did have an apartment in Claremont all set up, but it wasn't ready. I couldn't move in until August 1st. And the school that I went to, California Western School of Law downtown, they had a summer two-week immersion program that started 2 weeks before classes. So for the 2 weeks before classes, I didn't have a place to live. So I needed to find a place. And I had dogs at the time. So I was like, well, I got to find a place with dogs and blah, blah, blah. And so I said, okay, got to find a place to stay for these 2 weeks. Where can I stay? And anyone who knows me knows that I don't like to wake up early in the morning. So I thought to myself, well, that means I need to find a place to stay right by the law school because I didn't want to deal with traffic and all the other stuff. And anyone else who knows me knows that I hate looking for parking and parking far away. So, right. So I said, I need to find a place. So when me and my mother were driving cross country, we stayed at Motel 6s because they were inexpensive and you could have your pets there. So I said, okay, Spirit. Well, I didn't say Spirit back then. I just think in my brain, it's like, oh, I got to find a place to stay. So I Googled and looked for Motel 6, and lo and behold, there was one right by the law school. I was like, oh, great. Perfect. So I ended up staying there, checked in that day, and went upstairs, came back down, and the gentleman who checked me in went to him, and I said, hey, I need to go eat. Can you recommend some places to eat in the area? And he said, yeah, gave me a bunch of stuff, and he was so helpful in that little thing that I said, you know, can you tell me about this area? Like, is it safe? It's going to be me by myself, me walking around, you know. So he talked to me about the demographics of the area, and then I said, well, what about parking? Because I'm going to be living in Claremont, and I need to be driving down. Where can I park? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, it's all metered parking, and or you can park in the neighborhoods far away, about 5 to 6 blocks, and you're going to have to walk. He goes, I suggest if your classes start at 8, which they did, to get here about an hour early to drive around and look for parking. So, you know, I didn't want to hear that. I was like, oh. So I'm sure you can see the panic in my face because I just saw the next 3 years of my life flash from my eyes and all that I was going to be doing. So he looks at me and he says, hang on a second. So he goes in the back and he comes back out with a 2-inch thick pad of parking passes. And he says, take this. And I was like, really? He says, yeah. He said, so just tear off one of the passes, put like the week in there that you need and hang it on your rearview mirror. And this should last you about 3 years.
Oh my God. Wow. You didn't share that with me.
I know. Sorry. My law school classmate. That's my secret. So he did that for me. And I was so touched that this guy who I had met literally 5 minutes before had gifted this thing to me in an amazing way. And so I left, walked my dogs, came back, he'd gotten off work, and I said, oh, he's just so, such a great guy. So the next day I looked for him, and you know, I've never seen that guy again. Every time I'd ask for him for those 2 weeks, oh, he's not working this day, he's on a different shift, never have seen this guy again. And I was like, wow. And I think about him time to time, oddly enough, because that was such a pivotal thing for me in my life at the time. So, needless to say, I parked free for the first 2 years only. Because at the end of my second year, the jig was up, because there was a deli next to Motel 6, and the guy would see me get out of my car every day, park, and like walk across the street. And so we told the Motel 6 people, and they were like, why do we have this black SUV parked in our parking lot for the past 2 years? So yeah, so I was like, oh man, it's going to end. But as luck would have it, coincidentally, at the end of my second year of law school, I got elected as the incoming president of the student body. And what perk comes with that, I found out. Parking spot. So I got a free parking spot at a lot a block away by the Catholic Church. And I was like, oh my goodness, like this worked out amazingly well. So anywho, so I know you're thinking, well, what did that story have to do with trust and what we're doing here tonight? Well, fast forward 16 years later to 2016, I found this church in January 2015 and loved it the minute I walked in the door. Like, you can feel the love in here. So I was like, I got to be a part of this. But in order to be a part of it, they want you to join and to take a membership class. And I was like, oh, I gotta take this class. Yeah. So I did it. So I remember sitting in about the third or fourth row that Sunday, because it's after church, and kind of zoning out as the person is talking about the history of this church and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, my ears perked up when I heard the person say that this church used to be downtown on Beach Street. I was like, so then the person said that a hotel sits in its place now. I was like, all right. So I raised my hand, and I was like, what hotel? Motel 6. I was like, wait, what? Like, in my, like, at this point, I'm zoned out. I'm like, wait, what? Like, what? And then the speaker went on to say that the church, that the motel actually rents that land from the church, and that the revenue from that parking lot supports this church. Again, I was like, wait, what? Like, my mind was just blown sitting there listening to this. Because that parking lot had been instrumental in my emotional well-being, in my safety, because all of my friends would have to hike blocks to walk down at night when classes ended and we sat in the library. They'd have to get security to walk them to their cars blocks away. I never dealt with any of that. I could literally skate in 5 minutes before class, park my car, and go right to class. So it was a tremendous thing in my life that really helped me a lot. And to find out that 16 years later, I was seeking to join a church that I thought I was choosing. Well, little did I know this church had chosen me long ago to be here, right? So in looking back at that coincidence now, I realize and I trust that I was always meant to be here doing this with these people in this thought pattern at this church. There's no doubt about that. I have to trust that. I have no choice. And if I ever doubted that, I know Spirit would remind me, hey, we've been conspiring for your good since the moment you got to San Diego, you know? So realizing this, I can see now how my process of trust has evolved and continues to do so. From back in the day where I needed constant feedback of what was going on in my life to now fully respecting the inner voice that goes on inside, knowing that it's connected to the creator of all that is, I no longer question my guidance. Instead, I basically allow life to flow and watch in amazement and thankfulness at what is unfolding before me, because it's so seamless. So as I was conversing with a friend recently, I came up in my mind's eye with a metaphor, and that was about us having a map of our lives. And I feel like before, in the past, I would grip this map of my life and I would look at it trying to figure out where I was going, because I felt I knew how to read this map. But then I remembered that the maps that we have in the human realm have a north, south, east, west, but our life map doesn't have that. And so you're looking at this map thinking you're holding it right side up, but your spirit guides are like, ooh, sweetie, upside down, upside down. You know? Because what could be north today could be south next week when you deal with spirit. And then also I realized that when I'm holding the map like this, spirit is like, ooh, she doesn't know that our maps are three-dimensional because we don't deal with time or space. So this map of your life is moving constantly, and here we are trying to read it as if we were reading a regular map. And so I've learned to give them the map because they can read it. They have the key. I don't. And it's been great giving up the map. Now I can put my hands at the 10 and the 2 and just go wherever they tell me to go and not have to even think about it. So I invite each of you here tonight to reflect on your own level of trust, whatever that is. And so ask yourself, have you been looking at trust as a process or as a destination? And when I say a destination, I mean a place where you just have trust, and it's this thing that you acquire and hold on to it as if it's a static thing that doesn't move. But as we know, trust is a process. It flows, and you'll have it, then you won't, then you got to work on it, then it grows. And so how is your level of trust? And so to find out where your level of trust is, I would simply look back at your past experiences with spirit and ask yourself, what are some of the major things that I was concerned about in my life? And how did spirit show up for me during those times? And then after that, the next time you had another thing that majorly concerned you, did you go looking for guidance or did it kind of fall in your lap seamlessly? And then now, are you finding yourself having less concerns about things that are happening in your life? And I would say if you are finding yourself having less concerns, then you're likely on your process of trust and it's growing. But if your answer is no and you're still gripping that map, looking for that comfortable destination with certainty, okay. But I will say that comfort and certainty are the two things that fly in the face of true spiritual trust and growth. So you're going to be uncomfortable and you're not going to know what's going on. You just got to deal with it. That's how your faith grows. So I will say, even though I've gladly given up my map, tossed it back, don't care about it, spirit knows that I'm really stubborn and insecure, and that from time to time I appreciate a little wink or a nod to let me know that I'm on the right path. And last night, as you would have it, I was in Millie's class, because Millie does classes every week, and she came up to me in the circle and looked down at me and said, "This past week has been really good for you, hasn't it?" I was like, "Yeah." And those of you who know what I've been going through for the past 2 weeks know it's been crazy. So I was like, "Yeah." And then she leans in again and says, "And you're really happy that your life is coming together just like you planned." Yeah. Yeah, that was an understatement. And so I realized that that was spirit to wink at me last night to go, "Yeah, this is really happening. It's okay. Accept it, enjoy it, and keep growing in your trust." So I leave you with this reminder. The universe is conspiring for your good. And if you can remember that, this is going to really facilitate your process of trust. The universe conspires for your good. Even when things happen that shake your faith, because we live in a world of free human will, remember that the universe conspires for your good. And I like to think of it like they're conspiring and planning for your good. So I'm excited personally to see how the Creator and the spirit world are going to show up for me over the next year. They surprise me every day. And so in the meantime, I'm going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride without the map. So I hope you guys can too. Thank you.
you're just a sweetheart. Doesn't she present her thoughts so well? Wow. That was wonderful.